We did go the extra step and calculate the assessed value, and that's on the electronic version of that spreadsheet. For some reason, it's not printing that last column. So when I printed, I had to like select the field and print it to get it to all come out.
Okay.
Just so you know what that's showing. But yeah, the long and short of it is, and there, I sent you several attachments and this spreadsheet and an explanation of spreadsheet, and I can kind of summarize that for you, which I presume is kind of probably after a really long day what you want to hear from me. So what we did is we went back to Ed Dynan, the appraiser, and after we left the hearing last week, we said, is there any way that you can appraise all these parcels in a week? And he said, no, there's just no way I can do that. And we said, okay, well, is there any way you can, based on the work you've done so far, come up with what you feel is the appropriate acreage values depending on the type of land it is? And so we came up, and if you see on this spreadsheet to the far left, there is a breakdown of the acres between water acres, floodplain acres, and non-floodplain acres.
Okay.
And so for each parcel, he used the GIS mapping system and broke down each parcel between those types of acres. And I just wanted to let you and the board know that we were very conservative on this approach, and we tried to be, I mean, obviously very honest about it. So we found situations where the assessor had assessed the entire parcel as water at a reduced per acre. And when Diane looked at it, he said, well, it's not all water. It's actually some land and some. So the values that we're showing reflect the actual makeup of the parcel, regardless of whether that was in our favor or not. So there were some instances where we think the assessor was actually undervalued on the parcel. So we've accounted for that in our proposed values. And so what Mr. Diane did is he came up with, and this is all summarized in his notes, but for the three types of land, acres, for the water acres, I know the assessor put it at 500 an acre. We talked a little bit about that last week. Ed could not find any market data to support that from anywhere, even the Lake of the Ozarks, which I think the assessor says that's where she got some of her data from. Couldn't find any data to support that, and his view was that those water acres are virtually worthless because they're not for sale, no one buys them. There's just no. So we could have said, okay, we'll put it at a zero value, but we said no. I mean, don't do that. So the value he put on it was 130 an acre, which is the value that the assessor has had it at for the years prior. So on the water acres, we just proposed that we hold it constant, not that we lower it. But certainly not raise it. We just keep it where it was. So that's what we did on the water acres. On the floodplain acres and the non-floodplain acres, Ed could be better suited to discuss this with you, and I did set up a conference line, so they're all kind of waiting. I can bring them on if you want, or I can just kind of summarize what he did. I don't know, do you have a preference for that? Do you want to speak to the appraiser, or do you want me just to kind of summarize what
it's more up to the board. My suggestion would be let him summarize. If we have questions, he'll get them online.
Yes, agree. Yes, summary.
Yeah.
Okay. So for the floodplain acres, which are obviously encumbered because they're within a floodplain and it prohibits a lot of use of that land, he came up with 2,000 an acre. And for the non-floodplain acres, he put it at 4,000 an acre. And that was based on his market research and interviewing people down there and looking at sales. And so he applied those per land value acres to all the parcels to come up with a value. Two things to think about related to that. If you look on this spreadsheet, we put on there the fair market value is determined by the assessor. So Empire hasn't appealed, I think, in forever. But so the values that you're seeing there in the 20, 21, 22, 23 boxes are where the assessor was at in the past years. And so you can see, like, in 2020, the average per acre value was $3,022.06. I don't know if you can see that or not. You got to put on your readers. I got mine readers on now, so. And then that rose a little bit in 21 to 3,082 an acre. You see that? And then in 2022, it rose again to $3,500 an acre, give or take. And then for 2023, with the assessments that were issued to Empire, that number jumped up to $23,000 an acre. And so we didn't find any market data to support that raise. And if you see even below that line, you can see the percentage increase year over year. So the increase for 23 as assessed is over 22 is 574%. Which I don't think I need to say anything more about that. It was just an unusually large increase. And so going back to the basics, what Mr. Dinan did with his limited time is he came up with a per acre value for those three types of property, water, floodplain, and non-floodplain, applied those to all the land values of all the parcels. When there are a handful of parcels that have improvements on them, buildings like the Branson office as an example, and for all of those parcels that had improvements, Mr. Dinan did not touch anything that the assessor did. So we, for purposes of this, trying to resolve this now, we didn't have him go in and try to appraise the improvements, the buildings, those kinds of things. We're just going to accept what the assessor did at what she did. So for our proposal. And so what you see to the far right in column B is basically accumulating all of those land values and then carrying forward the improvement value to come up with the value for the parcel. That is at the commercial rate, and that is without any FERC encumbrance or reduction for FERC. As we talked about last week, we think the FERC license and order severely limits the ability of the marketability of that property and therefore limits its value. In Mr. Dinan's write-up, he did some research on that, but again, if you were to do an appraisal, it would be a little more in-depth, but he opined that the reduction because of the FERC encumbrance could be 50% or more. And I think just common sense supports that, because if you can only use that land for conservation, fishing, public access, no one's going to buy it for the commercial market rate to put some sort of development on or what have you, because they just can't do it. But that said, again, our goal here was to be conservative. We're not trying to upset the revenue in the county. We're not trying to take advantage of this situation. And so what we did is we took what we thought was a conservative reduction of 30%. And that is reflected in column X, which I don't know on your printout, you might not be able to see the.
We don't have any. We can't look at the columns. It doesn't have, you know,
it
X.
So the column I was just referring to, the column B, what I said with column B is the Dinan estimated commercial value without FERC adjustment.
Can see that.
So that would be, that's what that is reflecting. And then, If Dinan appraised these, he said it would be 50% or more, so you could split all those numbers in half to come up with where Dinan would be with the FERC encumbrance. What we did, and Empire did, so we took what Dinan did, and then we said, okay, what do we want to propose, right? And so what we did is we reduced that encumbrance, and we made it 30%. And so that's reflected in the next column over, which says adjust that ADJ stands for adjustment for FERC encumbrance. And so on our spreadsheet on the Excel version, there's just a calculus, just a formula run, and you can see at the very top line it says minus 30%. All we did is we took the number in Dinan's column and we took off 30%. And then the column right next to that is the calculation. So the last column on your sheet, which on my sheet, like I said, it didn't print the last, there's a further column with assessed value. But the market value after taking the FERC encumbrance reduction of 30% is what is reflected in that last column you're looking at.
Okay.
And that's what we would, if you were to decide in our favor, we would propose that the number in that column would be the value that you would find in the BOE decision. One more thing to point out, again, just to summarize this, and this is in my cover email, and it's also in Dinan's write-up. We talked a lot about classification last week, and we acknowledge that the assessor has classified all of these parcels as commercial, Mr. Dinan took a look at that, looked at surrounding parcels right next to our parcels, and looked at the county in general to see how the assessor decides on classification. And he'll find that maybe all, but a good portion of those parcels should be classified as agricultural. But on the sheet, there were a handful that are, did your sheet print in color?
Yes.
Okay. So you see in the column that has some green in it, it says, it's my column I, but the column is titled proposed classification.
Right. Yeah, I've got ag and you've got something about state and some other things.
Yeah. Could you... Let me talk about those really fast. So the ones that are highlighted in green,
Matt?
with ag, those are parcels that there is agricultural activity occurring on the land, like as of now.
Matt?
So those would be in the category of what I would call no-brainer classification changes. The others would take a little bit more, because I don't know if you're familiar with the SDC regulation on agricultural values, but it addresses forest land. Like, if you have a bunch of trees, there's nothing really happening on it.
Matt, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, hold on. Hold on for 1 second, okay? We've got a board member that has to go. Okay.
I apologize, but I'm supposed to be on the road before 4 o'clock, and I'm going out of town tonight. But
okay.
Obviously, they did a lot of work on this, and I'm not saying it's 100% right, but I think it's a good start, and I would feel comfortable granting this based on what their assessment is on the total, in totality.
Okay. All right. Yes.
Okay. Would you like me to continue on, or Mr. Baker has to...
Hold on for a second, Matt.
Sure.
Two things I want to point out. Again, how many decades have those underwater rates stayed where they are?
And okay, we'll get to that. I'm just... he's got to go. That's what I'm trying. We're going to get to that. Jerry and I are going to get to be here until 8 o'clock tonight, I think. So,
I think my question would be, Greg, do you feel that even though it is water, the properties that are water acres only, which is the basis of how they draw their electricity, that the value of that should not change and stay at 130 or improve to something of today's rate?
Well, I'm familiar with a lot of these properties that are on the lake.
We're talking about underwater.
Underwater or in a flood zone. And, it's minimal use.
It's valuable to them.
Yeah.
It's not valuable to anybody else.
Right.
So.
Right, and that's a good point. And we thought about, Ms. Moore, I know you mentioned that when we were there last week, and we had some discussion about that. And I think, Mr. Akers, you pointed it out correctly. A constant in property tax assessment and property tax law, and I've been doing this way too long, is that in Missouri, the standard, which is not only statutory, but in the common law, is the methodology that is required as value in exchange, as opposed to value in use. And so under Missouri law, when you're assessing property, you assess its value to the next buyer, not the value to the person who currently owns it, because we're looking at true value of money, what it would sell for on the open market. So there's that concept. The other concept is when you're valuing real property, it's impermissible to look at income or use that is generated or earned by the business enterprise that owns the property. So if you were to tax the water because Empire uses it to generate electricity, you are attaching a business value to the property, as opposed to you're getting away from true value and money. And so it's an interesting thought, and we actually kind of. We talked about that a long time because there were a lot of interesting questions that came out of the board, and that was the one I appreciated the most because I thought it was really thought provoking. But I came back to the same point: is what is the next person going to pay for that piece of land that's underwater?
Okay, does Greg need to be here for this?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay.
So one thing I'd like to point out is Liberty